Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, some good, some bad. You know, I thought he went in there for the most part. You know, he got thrown in not expecting to get in, and thought he ran the ball well, hit some passes, obviously missed some passes. Was in a tough situation there when we were down two scores. Did a good job moving the chains a couple times with his legs, but it looked like a typical first game.
Now back to 95-7, the game.
Kyle Shanahan's evaluation of how Trey Lance played in the loss to Seattle today. I'm Whitey Gleason with Shamari Block on 95-7, the game. We've got a special guest up in just moments here, Shamari, but first, who do you think will be starting next week against Arizona? Well, according to Jimmy Garoppolo, the starter next week will most likely be Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo, after the game today, said he'll have an MRI on Monday. And he also said, quote, speaking of his calf issue, quote, I'm hopeful it'll just be a couple weeks, something like that. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. So we'll see. Maybe he gets an MRI and they say, no, you're good. But it sounds like in Jimmy's mind, whatever his calf issue is, he's going to be out a while. So we can debate, should it be Jimmy? Should it be Trey? According to Jimmy, it looks like Trey's the quarterback for the time being because Jimmy won't be able to go.
Okay, Whitey, now I'm back on the conspiracy theory. I was off the conspiracy thing, but 2 weeks for a strain, a muscle? Muscles don't take 2-3 weeks to heal, man. You can get over that in a little bit. I can see if it was like a high ankle sprain, right? You know, some things, when you talk about a potential muscle strain, I mean, man, I guess. But now I'm back with Bonte, man. This sounds suspect.
We don't know for sure if it's a muscle. I mean, it could be. You'd think it's a muscle. He felt something go in his right calf. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo said. He felt something go. So it sounds like more than just, muscle.
Have you ever heard about I felt something go in my calf? I can't think I've ever heard anybody say that ever. I watch a lot of football post-game conferences. This is the first. Yeah, something went in my calf. Oh, now I'm a conspiracy theorist. Whitey, thank you. Thank you, Jimmy G. You made a conspiracy theorist out of me.
Let's see what our next guest makes of all this. Nice enough to join us here on this momentous day. You got the Giants clinching the NL West. You got the 49ers season blowing up in their faces. Our next guest contributes to both Around the Foghorn and Niners Nation, Mark DeLucci, with us. Mark, thank you so much for your time. We know you have better things to do on a Sunday evening. What do you make of Jimmy Garoppolo's calf issues and Trey Lance's debut today, sir? Not his debut, but how he played. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one player I can think of who had a right calf strain and missed some time, and that was Kevin Durant in the 2019 postseason. If you remember, when he first strained that calf, there was concern it was Achilles, and Garoppolo did mention in the press conference today that he goes, you know, the injury in his calf, it did kind of shoot down towards his Achilles, especially later in the half. So, you know, I don't think this is some phantom injury, especially when you hear the things Jimmy G was talking about. And if you remember with Durant, he came back after sitting out for a few weeks and then immediately did tear his Achilles. And, you know, Warriors training staffs and whatnot were questioned. So, you know, I think this is, you know, calf strains do have some severity just because of that proximity to so much going on. Again, especially, of course, the Achilles, which is, you know, obviously one of the most dangerous injuries in athletes. Can suffer. I'll say this, you know, I've been calling for, you know, Lance to be the guy for some time. I wrote earlier this week that Garoppolo wasn't getting it done over at Niners Nation, like you guys mentioned. And, you know, look, I don't think Lance played particularly well today. I don't have some, you know, disagreements with people said he was inaccurate. He missed a lot of easy throws. You know, even the deep ball to Deebo Samuel, he underthrew a bit. Now, granted, Deebo was incredibly wide open. Is Lance's mobility part of why Deebo gets so wide open? Because Jamal Adams is worried about something happening in the backfield? Perhaps. But, you know, we've seen Jimmy, you know, if Jimmy had made that throw, I'd be saying he barely completed it too. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Trey Lance ran away with the job. But I'll say what I've been saying all season, is that I do not think this 49ers team is good enough to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback. I don't know whether Trey Lance is better than Jimmy Garoppolo right now. Frankly, I don't know whether Trey Lance will ever be better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But if he isn't, the 49ers franchise is doomed for a few years, right? The future yeah, of this right. franchise is on Trey Lance's shoulders. And, you know, people like to talk about, you know, Patrick Mahomes, because if Patrick Mahomes sat 1 year in Kansas City behind Alex Smith, and that made everyone have this easy example to point to say, see, a player needs to sit for a year. You know, we just saw last year a rookie in Justin Herbert, who was considered a raw prospect, needed all this development. He steps in as a rookie, immediately making an impact with the Chargers. You can look back at Kyler Murray a few years ago. Even Baker Mayfield, for whatever you want to say, whether he's not an elite quarterback in the league, but his rookie season wasn't bad. He was a competent quarterback in Cleveland once he stepped in for an injured Tyrod Taylor back then. We are seeing rookie quarterbacks have success in this league, especially when they're put in circumstances to succeed. And again, I just don't see a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, again, that's not even in the cards now, but, you know, a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, I didn't think that was good enough to start over Lance. And now Lance has a shot, I think, to make it permanent. You know, I've been, again, critical of how Shanahan's handled the situation. I think he's frankly handled it a lot like Matt Nagy has handled Justin Fields and Andy Dalton out in Chicago. But, you know, if Lance plays well enough, this isn't going to be a conversation. The Arizona Cardinals are undefeated. They've played incredibly well. They beat the Rams today. If Trey Lance goes into Arizona and comes away with a win, even if Jimmy Garoppolo is ready to go in 2 weeks from now, you know, that's going to make Shanahan's job difficult. Think back to when Colin Kaepernick replaced Alex Smith. Alex Smith probably comes back and is the starter if Colin Kaepernick isn't really good. But his first start is that Monday Night Football against the Bears, and Colin Kaepernick goes crazy and leads a blowout victory. So I think that's kind of where Lance is at right now. That's a lot of pressure, but, you know, that's the pressure that comes with being the third overall pick.
Hey, Mark, how's it going, man? Good to have you on. You mentioned Trey Lance's performance tonight, and I agree it was not spectacular. But I kind of look at it as a tale of initially he had a lot of jitters. And he was inaccurate around those first two passes, especially, they were horrible. But I think that you can look at the last like half of his start the way that you can say, oh, well, they were playing umbrella coverages, they were playing prevent, and he had a bunch of easy throws. Or you could also say he kind of settled down a little bit and he was a little more accurate. Which side of that coin would you fall on?
You know, I'd fall on it in that I think Trey Lance is going to struggle with accuracy. That was a thing out of college. Like, I don't know, you know, Lance said nerves weren't an issue. I don't know. I don't want to get in his head too much. But I'll say this, is that going forward, I expect him to have some throws that make you scratch your head. Like, this is a part of the player the 49ers drafted. But I'll say this. You know, Shanahan said it in the postgame press conference. This game plan was not for Trey Lance. Trey Lance, because he's the backup, does not get the reps that I think he needs to develop. Like, everyone wants, again, I mentioned Mahomes and how that gets pointed to, but the reality is a backup quarterback in the NFL, no matter how good of a prospect they are, just doesn't get many reps in the course of a week because the team is focused on getting ready for their game on Sunday. And so, you know, Lance is playing with not a good amount of the playbook, not without reps with, you know, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. And another thing to mention, now this is something to watch going forward, but left tackle Trent Williams leaves the game early with cramps and then leaves the game later with a shoulder injury. You know, so he's also playing with a backup left tackle. You know, he's escaping pressure a lot. He's holding onto the ball a bit long, to be fair, as well. But going forward, if Williams is going to have to miss time, I think that's another thing into the equation of Lance's mobility might make it a bit easier if the 49ers are a bit depleted on the offensive line.
We're catching up with Mark DeLucci on 95.7 The Game. He is a contributor to Niners Nation, also around the Foghorn. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mad DeLucci. That's MaddeLucci, at Mad DeLucci. So, Mark, 49ers, as you well know, have Arizona, then they have the bye. So if Jimmy is hurt now, which it appears he is, we don't know for certain, is it fair to say Trey Lance has a chance to win the job outright next week?
If he doesn't, I think there is a lot of reason to be very critical of Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, the 49ers traded three first-round picks with, you know, Kyle Shanahan is ultimately the head of foot. Like, John Lynch may be the president or GM, but Kyle Shanahan's contract, he gets final say. He traded three first-round picks to go up and draft Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo's contract has virtually no guaranteed money after this year. They can save $25 million by cutting it. You know, I guess my thing is, if Shanahan isn't willing to let Lance try and take the job, why did they do all that? You know what I'm saying? Like, Lance is the future of this franchise. And so I absolutely think he has a chance to win the job. And it is going to be a very tough circumstance. Again, the Cardinals are undefeated. Niners coming off a pair of losses. We'll see again if Trent Williams is out. That's a huge offensive line. That's their best offensive lineman, one of the best in the league out, going up against Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt in Arizona. But no, absolutely. I mean, if they come out away with a win in Arizona, Lance plays well. I think we get to see Lance showcase what he can do with his legs, because that's the thing, right? Lance doesn't need to be a better passer than Garoppolo to be a better quarterback because of what he can do with his own mobility in the run game, but also what it opens up for the other backs, because the defense now has to pay attention, has to put an extra linebacker. That linebacker has to take another half second to make sure Lance still doesn't have the ball, and that gives Trey Sermon a bigger hole up the middle. So I think all of that is to say that Lance definitely should have a shot to take control of this starting quarterback job if he gets a win next week.
Hey, Mark, what about Kyle Shanahan? I've got a lot of dissent, I think, on the text line and on social media about Kyle Shanahan. Do you think that he might be losing his luster with he's definitely losing it with the Niner Nation, right? But do you also think he might be losing his luster with the Yorks, man? Or do you think they're going to stay the course?
Well, this is, I think, one of the tough realities that I think 49ers fans have to reckon with. And I think it's one that, you know, as media people, we struggle to do, because every moment, you know, there's different nuances to it. And there are plenty of good NFL head coaches. There are plenty of good coaches in the NFL, but they are good for different reasons. And Shanahan is one of, I think, the most enigmatic, in part because the way, what ultimately makes what I would say is a B, B-plus level head coach is through these extremes. Kyle Shanahan is arguably the best offensive play caller in the NFL in terms of not only play design, but his ability to sequence plays and put things together. I mean, again, you see that, every week it seems like you're seeing guys get college level open in Shanahan's offense, whether Jimmy G or again today when Lance hits Debo for that big touchdown. You know, he is best in the league when it comes to offensive play calling. We've seen the Niners have losing seasons where the locker room stays with the right mentality. He seems to have the guys who can who have a energy about him, where guys believe in him in the locker room. They're willing to play all 17 games, all 60 minutes, and give 100% effort, no doubt. That's, again, where he's an elite head coach. But when it comes to roster management, you know, we've seen a lot of mistakes at the top of the draft, whether we're talking about Solomon Thomas, whether we're talking about Reuben Foster. We're seeing this year where second-round pick Aaron Banks and third-round pick Ambry Thomas are healthy scratches to start the season. You know, I think there's reason to question, some of the salary cap management, some of the decisions the 49ers have made, whether it's trading a second-round pick and giving a lot of money to Dee Ford or even Jimmy Garoppolo. And so it's frustrating when you see Shanahan and go, this should be easily a top three coach in the NFL, when you just see how good of a play caller he is, how good he is at getting guys to believe in him, but then he's struggling with the front office work, it seems like, making mistakes there, and you see him be incredibly conservative on fourth down. You see him make some clock management decisions. We saw last week against Green Bay where they didn't seem to handle the clock very well at the end of the game. So it's tough. I think Shanahan is a good head coach, but there's no denying he is also a flawed head coach, and that's something I think the Niners faithful are going to have to learn to accept, because I don't think Shanahan's going anywhere anytime soon, but I also don't think Shanahan's going to improve in some of those areas anytime soon either.
Kyle Shanahan is no Gabe Kapler, huh? Mark DeLucci with us on 95.7 The Game. So, yeah, Mark, all kidding aside, let's turn our attention to the 2021 National League West champion San Francisco Giants. And baseball's got to be thrilled, because in the wild card games, you got Yankees, Red Sox, and you get Cardinals, Dodgers. How likely do you think the Giants are to see the Dodgers again?
You know, It's one game wild card, so crazy things can happen, but the Dodgers are going to be heavy, heavy favorites. They'll obviously have home field advantage. They have a beastly starting rotation. They have a better lineup than the Cardinals. But to be fair, you know, I think St. Louis is going to be able to throw Adam Wainwright, and Wainwright has been lights out, especially in the second half of the season. But I'll say this, you know, Giants fans are kind of, I feel like, in a win-win situation right now. If the Cardinals win, then the Dodgers are out of the playoffs and can't win the World Series, and the Giants get to gloat in that. And if the Dodgers win, then, boy, we're looking at a playoff series, an NLDS series for the ages. The Giants, 107 wins. The Dodgers, 106. Two incredible rivals who have never played in the postseason before. I mean, it just seems destined, right? It seems like something that the Dodgers and Giants have been on this collision course. And it does almost feel it would be unsatisfying if the Cardinals pull off the wild card victory. But, you know, either way, the Giants are happy they come away with this division. They don't have to play a tiebreaker. They're able to line up their rotation for the NLDS. And again, an older team that's been struggling with injuries, had some accumulate over this past week, just happy to have 4 days off before they'll have to play again.
Hey, Mark, so you have the Brewers, you have the Cardinals, and you have the Braves. What is the second – who's the scariest non-Dodger team if you're the Giants? Who's the second – I guess most concerning team in the National League, in your path to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I've come on here before. I think last time I was on it, I was talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, they won 95 games, granted, in a far weaker National League Central. But, you know, I look at mostly two things when I'm looking at, you know, who's going to win the World Series, who's going to win in the postseason, and that's starting rotation and bullpen. And you look at the Brewers' rotation at the top, they have Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta. You look at their bullpen, they have Josh Hader, you know, Brent Suter, Brad Boxberger. You know, Devin Williams is hurt, so he's probably not going to be able to be a factor, but if he was able to find the field, that'd be obviously a huge difference maker for them. So, I mean, to me, they're the other team to watch. You know, I'm not a betting man, but when it comes to if I was playing the odds right now and I had to make one bet, I might put my World Series odds on the Brewers because I think they're a bit undervalued just because the Giants and Dodgers, they're going to have to play each other in the NLDS because of the nature of the playoffs, right? The Dodgers and Giants, I think, are probably the two favorites or at least relatively close to the favorites right now. But, you know, one of them is going to be gone by the NLDS just because they're going to have to play each other. The Brewers are going to get to play Atlanta, which I think is the weakest of the playoff teams right now. And, again, with that rotation, that potential in the back of the bullpen, I think they're going to be really formidable for every opponent they have to go up against.
All right, Mark, we'll let you go on this one. Mark DeLucci with us on 95.7 The Game. And you may have touched on these things here in that answer you just gave, but what would you say is the Giants' biggest concern heading into this postseason? And what about this team gives Gabe Kapler the most confidence going forward?
Well, you know, I think I would have said the starting pitching not too long ago, but, you know, just getting today with Logan Webb looking really good on the mound, giving him 7 strong innings, fading a bit in the eighth, but nonetheless up 10 runs. There's a lot less pressure on that situation. Logan Webb and Kevin Gausman gave them ace-like performances these last 2 days when the Giants needed wins to win the division. You know, they've been the two best starters over the course of the season, but they've both looked a bit shaky recently. I think there's a reason to be concerned. I mean, I think right now you look at it and it's actually the bullpen. Camilo Duvall has been fantastic, and he's probably the Giants' closer heading into the postseason. But that's a rookie who, you know, at the start of the season, heading into the year, you know, I focus on prospects. Duvall has struggled with walks at various points this year. He's struggled, you know, with home runs at various points this season as well. He could be, again, people have made the comparison to K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez with the Angels in 2002. But ultimately, Jake McGee, who's been one of the best relievers, just came off the injured list. We don't know if he's going to be able to handle high-leverage situations in the playoffs. And that's a lot of pressure on Tyler Rogers and ultimately the rookie Camilo Duvall. So I think the bullpen is the thing that gives you the most concern. And if you're looking at strength, it comes back to just the depth of this lineup, right? You look at these Giants, even the way they've been battered by injuries, Brandon Belt obviously having that fracture, that's probably going to keep him out for the postseason. Maybe if the Giants get their way to the World Series or a long NLCS, he might be able to be back by then. But he's going to be out for at least the foreseeable future. But you still look at this lineup, and you look at who's batting seventh, who's batting eighth in this lineup. pitchers, whether it's starters, whether it's relievers, there's going to be no break. And I think that's just what gives the Giants, if you're looking for that edge, it's that those starting pitchers, they don't get three batters. They get to just, you know, ease through. There's no break. There's no rest. And that, you know, puts higher stress pitches on the arm, that forces pitch counts, that forces teams to go to their bullpens earlier. And over the course of a five-game, especially a seven-game series, that's where I think you'll see the Giants hopefully take advantage by the, you know, game five, game six, game seven, where opposing bullpens might be a bit more strained and ultimately give them the edge.
Follow him on Twitter at Matt DeLucci, Mark DeLucci. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it very much. Hopefully we can talk again very soon. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Have a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you too. So I don't know, Shamari, how did you end up following the 49ers and the Giants today? It was nice that the Giants started early. Of course, baseball, last day of the season now, all the games start at the same time, which is great. So by the time the 49ers started, the Giants had established, they were already ahead, pretty comfortably ahead of the Padres. And then I watched mostly football at that point. Once that game started, then I went back and forth a little bit, and I caught the end. I wanted to see the Giants on the field celebration. But how did you follow each and everything else going on today?
So Niners on the television. Well, Giants first on the television.
Yeah.
Then once the Niners game came on, Niners on the television, Giants on the laptop. So I'm like going down, looking at my lap, looking up at the screen. And it's kind of easy, though, because an NFL play is like 10 seconds. Then you have basically a minute of no action. So it's like, okay, 5 seconds, 30 to 40 seconds of nothing. And I was going back and forth, and I was getting hyped. And it's kind of funny because that big rally they had to go up nine when Logan Webb hit his two-run shot either right before or right after Jimmy Garoppolo threw that touchdown pass, and I'm losing it, man. I think I went on Twitter and said, I am on literal cloud nine right now, okay? It was a beautiful thing. And, you know, you learn to multitask. You learn to multitask when you live in an ADD society, you learn to multitask. Whitey, how about you? So you just was on flipping back and forth, I guess, channel surfing?
Mostly baseball. I like to focus on one thing. So baseball, you know, still check a little red zone channel here and there, and I think Chiefs, Eagles. So baseball, and then once the football started, I was focusing on football, then going back and forth a little bit, and I wanted to make sure I caught the on-field celebration, which was nice. And I was also watching, you know, MLB Network, because they were following everything going on in the American League. And I know we're not as concerned with that, with the A's out of it and with everything going on with the Giants and the 49ers, but that was an incredible, incredible race in the American League. And the Yankees with a dramatic win and the Red Sox with a very dramatic win. So much
poor,
going on. There's
Mariners.
Something really special about the last game. Yeah, I know.
Poor Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners had no business being here, in my opinion.
They did.
Here they were. Yeah, and that's to their credit. And they were like, hey, we don't care. We're going to take it to the last day of the regular season. So good for them. But there's something really cool about the last day of the regular season of the baseball season. Now we got the postseason, which is great. But baseball's a little different in the postseason. There's something special about it. It's kind of bittersweet for me when the regular season ends. But now it's all going on.
Okay, so you ready? Are you ready for the disrespect, Whitey? Are you ready to hear the disrespect?
Oh, do I have to? Who are you going to disrespect? Man. Me or?
I'm disrespecting no one. I'm disrespecting no one. I'm just ready to be ready to hear the disrespect, okay?
Yeah.
The team with the best record in baseball, are third in the odds to win the World Series after the freaking Dodgers and the Trastros, man, okay? The Dodgers and the Trastros are favored over the Giants, who won more games than anybody, who were tops in home runs and ERA and every other metric you want to measure a team by. The Trastros and the Dodgers favored over them to win it all, Whitey.
That's great. That's more value for you when you put your money on your Giants, right? There's more bang for your buck. And if an American League team were going to win it, I think you know, for everything the Astros went through and everything they put us through, I should say, there's still part of me that I have a real soft spot for Dusty. So I don't like the Astros, but I wouldn't mind seeing Dusty finally get a World Series ring, because he's been through so much.
And also, he's been so good. He's the only manager to take five teams to the postseason. Five different franchises, postseason, on Dusty Baker's back, man.
So I would boo them all the way. Boo, Astros, I hate you. But if they won, I'd go, yay, Dusty. I'm okay with that. But I don't think that's going to happen. All right. Coming up, we'll get back to the 49ers. Yeah, we'll talk more about what Jimmy Garoppolo had to say after the game about his condition and how long he figures to be out. And four games in, are the 49ers, are they who you thought they were? 888-957-9570. It's Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7.
He got hurt sometime in the first half. You know, he said he got stepped on. Not sure which play, but he played for a while with it. We didn't think it was he didn't think it was that bad at the time. And then about a minute before halftime ended, trying to get it going, he just couldn't push off it. So right at the end of halftime, we realized he couldn't go.
Now back to 95.7, the game.
Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block, and like everybody else, for the last 2.5 hours since the 49er game ended, we've been going back and forth on, well, who should start next week? Should it be Jimmy Garoppolo? Should it be Trey Lance? Well, Jimmy says, ain't gonna be me. Jimmy Garoppolo after the game. Well, here's what Jimmy had to say after the game when asked about his calf injury.
No. Really hope not. It feels like just the calf right now, but I'm hopeful it'll just be a couple weeks or something like that.
I'm hopeful it'll just be a couple of weeks or something like that. That's what he told reporter Shamari. Jimmy Garoppolo going to have an MRI. So, yeah, as Mark DeLucci suggested, I mean, we don't know, and it's not responsible.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Not necessarily to speculate, but it is possible when you're talking calf, there are other things like your Achilles in that area that could be more serious than just a calf strain. So it sounds like Jimmy doesn't expect to be available next week, so it doesn't look like he's going to be starting. Looks like it's Trey Lance time.
And I feel this is inevitable. I feel like this is inevitable. I feel like it was inevitable because, right? Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, and I'll be honest. I kind of would like to have Jimmy as a safety net here in case something happens to Trey. And then we're in Nate Sudfeld territory. Whitey, that's terrifying, right? That Nate Sudfeld.
Mm. Yeah, he knows the system. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Jake in Alameda on 95.7 The Game. Jake, it looks like Trey Lance is your starter next week. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've made predictions before. I've called the show and said the Warriors should have taken LaMelo Ball. So, I mean, this is not new to me. So I knew that Jimmy was going to get hurt. I knew they'd have to throw in Trey Lance. I knew the season was going to be a disaster. I actually called the show and told them that, and I recorded it. So, and I told them they should have had Jameis Winston backing them up, but you guys don't want to bring in a guy that's had problems here and there where they're here. So now you got a rookie, cost you everything you got in your house. You mortgaged your house, your mom's house, your family's house on a lottery ticket. And good luck, you know, because I think you're going to need it because this season's going to go. You're going to get the number one pick, that's for sure, because you're going to finish dead last in the NL, or the whatever the NL, the NFC. You know, that's over. It's finished. You guys are going to – you think you're going to beat Arizona? You think you're going to beat any other team? How are you going to beat Seattle and L.A.? I mean, it's finished, bro. I mean, what?
Okay, thank you. That sounds like Dave in Alameda, but anyway, Dave. Dave did, and I will say this: he is the guy that said they should take LaMelo Ball. He's right. I remember.
I mean,
said that.
Let me just
so
say
he's right.
Let me just reframe something he said though. Trey Lance isn't a lottery ticket; he's a raffle ticket. Okay, the lottery. You have zero odds of winning. Man, you get in a raffle, you feel pretty good about a raffle. You don't really feel good about a lottery ticket. Let's go with raffle ticket and a raffle with only, like, you know, a few, let's say 20 people involved, right? It's a little significantly better than a lotto ticket. But he is right. They did bet the farm on Trey Lance. And yeah, we're going to find out, Whitey, we're going to find out if Shanahan was right.
Maybe not next week, but we could. I mean, it might be a little early for him and for Trey Lance to show that, hey, they were right to get me in 1 week, but they have that opportunity. That's what I think is exciting about this week. And I know one of the things Kyle said after the game today was, you know, we hadn't put in the offense for Trey. So presumably now you've got time to do that. And if he plays well and if you win next week, and I know that's a lot to ask given the way things are going right now with all the injuries, but you got a chance to get your season right back on track, right? I mean, I know they're only 2-2, but to me, for this team, after two straight wins, to lose two in a row like this, two, you know, marquee games, you lose to Green Bay the way you did, then you lose to Russell Wilson again. I mean, 2-2 feels worse than that to me. However, if you go to Trey Lance and you're forced to play your guy, your high draft pick, and he plays well, all of a sudden, maybe then you got this whole thing headed in the right direction. It's a lot to ask, and it's not easy, but I do see that opportunity there next week against a divisional foe in Arizona.
And Arizona's not infallible, okay? Yeah, they're
4-0. They beat the Rams today. They kicked the Rams behind.
But there were a couple of games there that they were close, and they just so happened to come out on the winning edge. Man, they could very easily be 2-2 also. And yeah, they beat the snot out of the Rams, and the Rams beat the snot out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and blah, blah, blah. But every team in the NFL is an NFL team, and any week anybody can beat anybody. Okay, and I'm not super worried about the Cardinals because the Cardinals. Guess what? You think the Cardinals? You think Cliff Kingsbury and company and everybody is sitting there right now? Oh, we got the Niners. All right, this is gonna be no. They're worried too. They're like, oh, what are we going to do against this Lance kid? There's not a lot of tape on him. He can run. We've never seen this. What is the offense going to look like? Cliff Kingsbury is not going to sleep well this week, I guarantee you. And after watching what happened to Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray would also be wise to not sleep well because that Niners D-line, it fell off in the second half, Whitey. But that first half was about as close to 2019 as I've seen in the last 2 years.
888-957-9570. To this point, are the 49ers who you thought they would be? To me, what's been lacking is they had, you know, Seattle's win today, I would say that's a statement win for them. Their backs were against the wall a little bit. They came through. They came back. They played well in the second half when their offense had been terrible. That was a big statement win for them. The 49ers don't have a statement win. They had kind of a statement first half against lowly Detroit since then, and I know the injuries have a lot to do with it. Yeah, they beat the Eagles underwhelmingly, but they did. And then, you know, if you beat Green Bay at home, you come back home, maybe that's a statement win, but that didn't happen. Clearly today, an opportunity to make a statement win. So I'm still waiting to see what are the 49ers? What do they do well? Right now, I'd have a hard time telling you, Shamari. I know what they're trying to do. And again, not to make excuses, but just to be realistic, I realize they are compromised a lot by the injuries because they love to run the ball and they can't run the ball, but that doesn't matter. It's the NFL. You got a game next week regardless. So what are the 49ers doing well right now? And yeah, the defense at times has been good. The offense at times has looked good, but overall it just hasn't been there. And I think that's, if not alarming, certainly troubling.
But the thing with me, that when I look at this, when I examine this, like I said earlier, the strength of this team offensively is in the passing game. You have weapons across the board in the passing game that just kind of match up, like they defy matchup. How do you match up with George Kittle? How do you match up with Deebo Samuel? You even saw Kyle Juszczyk out there. Remember when they first signed Kyle Juszczyk and they said, oh, you signed him, you paid a fullback all this money. He said he's not a fullback, he's an offensive weapon. And Kyle Juszczyk has looked exactly like that, an offensive weapon. Ross Dwelly, man, okay? You see that touchdown pass today? You see that touchdown? Yeah. Like the strength of this team is in the passing game. You got big Trent Williams protecting the blind side. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's okay. Because I feel that Laken Tomlinson, Alex Mack, and Trent Williams, that left side of the line, that's legit. You help out the unskilled and McFlinchy, as 925 boys like to call him, right? You help them out in the pass game. You drop back there, and you get the ball to these weapons, and that is how you – and I know, Kyle Shanahan, the zone run scheme, the Shanahan family run game, still rock with that. But instead of trying to run to set up the pass to set up the run. Get those safeties back there because they don't want Debo and Kittle and company running behind them and then sneak it in there with Trey Sermon and Jacquez Patrick.
888-957-9570. Jake in San Ramon joins us, 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Jake? Are the 49ers who you thought they'd be at this point?
Actually, no. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I thought the Niners would be better. But basically my point is so Dak went in as a rookie after Romo got hurt in the preseason in Seattle, and Dak went 13-3, and he was like a fourth-round pick, third or fourth, whatever it was, and no one expected anything from Dak.
Yeah.
And he comes in and goes 13-3. So why not put Trey? Why can't Trey go in and let him play? I mean, Dak was a rookie, 13-3. The Niners have the best offensive coach in the league. You can't make Trey win 8 games? Like, come on. That's my whole point.
Gotcha. Thank you for the call. Dak was a fourth-round pick, and I'll never forget that when Romo got hurt. I think he got hurt in an exhibition game against the Seahawks, and he slid, and he got a helmet in the back and cracked a rib or a vertebra or something. But Shamari, I'll never forget it because Dak, from the moment he took the field, he just looked like he belonged there. Even in the preseason, I know in the preseason, like, you don't see, the sophisticated defenses, but Dak had a presence about him that Lance doesn't have. So, yeah, I know one was the third pick, one was a fourth rounder, but that's one thing about Dak. He had that presence from the get-go. I think in some ways he's still underrated, and I know he had another big game today. He's really good, and he's a really accurate passer. If Trey Lance can become Dak someday, that would be great news for the 49ers. But right now, and just it's because of, you know, he didn't play last year. Right now, Trey Lance is nowhere near, in my opinion, what Dak was when Dak was a rookie. Doesn't mean he can't get there, but he's not that nowhere close to that right now.
Well, but can we get, Dak went into the opening game of the season, having taken a lot of the preseason reps. He came in an entire week of game planning for a game plan suited around him. He had some weapons. Let's see what happens when Trey, takes all the first team reps for 1 week.
Yes.
I don't think he was that inaccurate. I think he was jittery. But once he settled down, and yes, I get that he was throwing against a prevent defense, blah, blah, blah. But it's not like dudes are getting hit. Dudes are getting the ball where they were supposed to get it, okay? It was in people's hands. Maybe he threw some fastballs. He definitely threw some fastballs, but the ball was getting to guys, okay? So I don't think he's inaccurate at all. I think he was jittery. He was nervous because it's like, all right, kid, Jimmy has a bad calf. Get in there. Oh, by the way, we're down 7. Sorry, Trent Cannon. Oh, now we're down 13, kid. Get out there and win one for the Gipper. And Dak kind of got to ease into it. And I feel that I'm not saying he's going to be Dak or Patrick Mahomes or anybody, but I feel that this was about as bad as a situation to make his first – to cut his teeth in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we had seen him a little bit, but here it was. It's funny because just last week, right, Kyle was saying, look, Jimmy's the guy, and it's great that we don't want to throw Trey into the fire. Those weren't his exact words. But remember, you and I talked about that. Kyle Shanahan said, it's great that we don't have to force him in, and if we have to, I'm sure he'll be ready. And sure enough, hello, he better be ready because it's time. 888-957-9570. Derek in Richmond, 95.7 The Game. Derek, you think the Niners are where they should be right now?
I think the Niners are at where they belong. The two games they lost, they were teams who could have beat them. And if Kansas City can be 2-2, so can the Niners. I think that a lot of people had overrated them. They're a good team, but I don't think they're a great team. I think their record is legit. It's fair.
So, Derek, you think they're maybe a playoff team, but no way are they a Super Bowl team? Is that the way you see it?
I don't think they're a Super Bowl threat. I don't think they are. I think a lot of times we're mostly attached, which I am. I want the Niners to win. But I bet you if you go to Houston, Texas, and you ask people, are the Niners going to win the Super Bowl? They'll be like, yeah, right, like Houston is. You know, I think we're you know, sometimes it's home time, just like we think, a lot of people think the Warriors going to come back and just be a threat to win the NBA. I don't think they are. They're going to be a lot better than last year, but the Niners are a good team. I'm not saying they're a bad team, but I don't think Tampa Bay is shaking to play the 49ers, and they can very well lose next week to Arizona. Right.
Yeah,
they can very well lose. I mean, their best receivers are better than our best receivers. Their quarterback is better than our quarterback. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, no question. They haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they just beat the Rams. You know.
Thank you, Derek. And good to hear from you. Appreciate your point of view. Although I thought it was kind of harsh when he said he compared the 49ers in some way, shape, or form to the Texans. Shamar, you see what happened to the Texans today? Huh? You see what happened to them?
I didn't, but I could imagine. They're the I've seen enough Texans football 40 to nothing. Over the first
Buffalo beat them 40 to nothing.
Okay, so I do know that my fantasy Buffalo's my I do know my fantasy defense scored a whole lot of points. They outscored my quarterback. My fantasy, and I had Buffalo, so I knew something was up. But I watched that Kansas City game in the morning, and then I watched the Giants. Then I was watching the Giants and the Niners. I didn't even get to really watch any red zone channel this morning.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that wasn't one of the featured games. That thing was over quick. That escalated in a hurry. 888-957-9570. DJ's in Hercules, and he joins us on 95.7 The Game. DJ, looks like Trey Lance next week. How do you think he'll do?
Oh, I'm excited about that. I've been wanting Trey Lance for a while. I'm really excited. But what I think is, I think we're doing pretty good. I don't think it's our offense. Debo's looking great. Our defense was looking amazing, how we held down DK and Lockett. You know, we had unfortunate turnovers. That was really it. But what I think is the biggest problem is Kyle Shanahan. Like, 4th-and-2, and you throw that weird play to Debo, like, come on, man. We got to open it up. Kittle needs the ball more. I don't like how Jimmy G is overthrowing his balls. Like, you see Kittle almost out for the season when he missed that catch and he fell, my heart dropped a beat. But that's really how I feel. I think it's really on Shanahan right now.
All right, thank you, DJ. I know what you mean. When Kittle went up and his knee got bent under him, Shamari,
and then
really
they showed the replay like four times. What's wrong with them? I was like, I'm sitting here like, what's wrong with these broadcast people? That is, man, it's like watching somebody get a shot in the boys, man. You know, you got to cross your like, I was watching George Kittle's knee contort like four times in a row. I'm like, you guys are sick, man. You're sick. Yeah.
Human leg is not supposed to be bent in
it
that fashion.
Isn't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was hard to watch. I'm literally like cringing just thinking about it. But he's okay.
To DJ's point, about the high throws. And not to make excuses for Jimmy, but he reminded me, and even at times last week, he reminded me of the way he played last year. Remember when he played against the Dolphins and he was still hurt and he was just awful and he was overthrowing everything because he wasn't stepping into anything? And I think if he did have, you know, if he has something with his calf or whatever else is attached in that area, I could see how that could really adversely affect his throws and his accuracy. I'm not making excuses. We know he's not, you know, he's not Joe Montana, but I'm wondering if that's a factor. I'm wondering if this is something that's maybe been bothering him for a while, although he said it was just something that he felt during the game today.
Man, that's the number one thing that I feel that people don't realize enough is that, and Joe Montana or Steve Young or the combination of both, I think it's Steve Young. Steve Young said that I could watch the feet of a quarterback and tell you whether they completed the pass or not. Now, when it comes to throwing a ball, everybody thinks of your arm, but your core and your feet are 99% of it, including the quote-unquote arm strength, right? That is your hips and your feet, man, that kind of throw the ball. And your arm is just kind of – it's kind of like the whip. It whips out of your hand, and you pop – you kind of snap it like you would a jab, right? So if you have a leg injury, you're absolutely going to lose accuracy.
Yeah, you sure are. And I think that's one thing we have to keep an eye on with Trey Lance, because his footwork still at times, Shamari, not to nitpick, but I think we saw that on one of his throws late in the game. At times his footwork is still off. You can see that fundamentally he's still got some work to do in that area. Got a very strong arm, but his footwork a work in progress.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a cat, and that's fine. He's a rookie. He is a rookie. He's making his, like 17th or 18th or 19th. No, it's like his 19th start. No. This will be his 14th start since he left high school. Because he started 13 games and he started one like exhibition game last season, right? So he's played 14 college games. So this will be his 15th start since he went to his senior prom. Okay? It's like really senior prom, 14 starts, huh?
I think his inexperience is one of the, relatively speaking, his lack of experience is one of the things that Kyle liked about him, because I think they felt, all right, there's an opportunity to mold this guy into what I want him to be. He's this shapeless clay in some ways. So yeah, because he still has so much to learn, then we can make sure we could just totally immerse him in the way I think and the way we approach it. I think that was actually some of the upside for Kyle. 888-957-9570. Danker in San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Looks like Trey Lance next week. Danker, what do you think?
What's up, gentlemen? Sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry. I said it looks like Trey Lance starts next week. What do you think?
Oh. Yeah, you know, I never like to see that happen on an injury, but I have been rooting for Lance to start. This is the thing. People better give Trey a long leash, because Jimmy is 1-for-9 on completing a full season. You know, and the thing that's going on here, it's like, imagine being a catcher for Barry Zito, then Bumgarner the next day. These receivers, Trey needs to learn their route, the way they break on their routes. And then these receivers need to learn how to, you know, how to embrace Trey's ball, you know. And Trey's going to give him extra steps. We know he's got the zip, but once they get that rhythm, man, we're going to start gassing defenses. Because, you know, once you're in rhythm, that's when you can do those hard counts and get guys to jump, and you can get those double moves because guys are subconsciously locked in, you know. So, I hate to see it happen on an injury, but I'm really pumped to see us open it up, get that Trey dimension going. You know, and it's a new era.
Thank you, Danker. Appreciate that. And thanks for listening. I know you sent a lot of texts. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Here's a potential downside, Shamari, not to be negative, but just looking at all possibilities here. Jimmy, as you said early in the game today, he was really throwing the ball well, right? We
agree. And throwing it well down the field.
Yes.
Whitey, yeah, it was beautiful.
It was like, oh, my goodness, this is great. So he gets hurt. Now, if Trey's not ready, and maybe he is, and maybe this is the best opportunity for him to learn, but if Garoppolo is hurt and Trey's not ready, I mean, that's the worst possible situation, right? Then you go from a quarterback controversy to a quarterback crisis. That would mean that this carefully laid plan has blown up. Now, it's possible Trey is ready and he'll be good to go and they win and everything. Everyone's on their merry way. But if Trey Lance is not ready yet, if he's going to struggle and Jimmy is hurt and can't go, then you've got a real mess on your hands.
You do, Whitey. And I'm with Danker. Let me just say this, right? I know it's a lot of jokes. Oh, you can't stand Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Let me just say two things really quick. First things first. Wait, no, I root for the dudes that's on the field for my team, okay? And I'd never, ever, ever want to see anybody get injured, right? I just want to get those things out there. Jimmy G, speedy recovery, man, okay to you. Straight up, right?
Now,
now the thing with Trey Lance, though, that I feel he's a good candidate to start and get his lumps is that the number one thing he's lacking is experience. And the things that you see him slipping on are like the little minor tweaks to the footwork or getting in and out of the huddle, right? And those are things that you get by playing, right? You're not going to learn like the little minor minutia details of quarterbacking watching Jimmy G do it for a season. I mean, you can, but I feel that what we'll see with Trey Lance, regardless of how he starts out next week, right? And regardless of how well he's playing at the end of the season, I think at some point we're going to see a very steep curve where Trey Lance kind of, you know, he's going to kind of ascend rather quickly, because the number one thing that I feel he needs more than anything is experience.
888-957-9570 on the text line real quick here from the 650. The Jimmy G injury is fake news. Now Kyle gets to see how badly he messed up. From the 415, I would be worried about Trent Williams. Yeah, fingers crossed on Trent Williams, who he had cramps and then he came back and then it was his shoulder. And don't forget, his knee has also been an issue this year already, so I don't even want to think about what happens to the offensive line if Trent Williams is hurt. Let's go to George in the jungle. He wants to talk about Trey Lance on 95.7 The Game. George, thanks for hanging. What's up?
You know, gentlemen, I really like what Shamari just had to say about you don't want to see anybody get hurt. I root for who's running my team. I like Garoppolo. I like Trey Lance. But, God, please tell me, why did we give up three number ones? This kid wasn't going to be picked up. That's where I'm lost. Mm-hmm. I'm mortgaging the future for somebody who's got no experience.
Thank you, George. What do you make of that, Shamari?
Well, but, and that's the thing that I've said. And people are like, well, he was going to sit a year. If a dude has to sit for a couple of years before he's ready to play in the NFL, that's not a third overall pick. I don't care what his ceiling is, okay? That is not a number three overall pick. A number three overall pick should be a guy who can come in right away and not be an MVP. But a number three overall pick shouldn't be a person that will drag a good team down. And we don't know what Trey Lance is yet, but if he is a dude who right away will drag a good NFL team down, then I don't think you pick that guy number three.
Yeah, George, I think the answer to that is that they didn't necessarily think he would be anywhere near his peak this year, and I think they were thinking long-term. Doesn't mean they were right, but I think that's the answer. It's like they just weren't necessarily picking him to be ready week four. Now it looks like he better be ready by week five because it's going to be time for him to play. But I think that's why they kept Garoppolo around. Look, this guy hasn't played a lot, but Jimmy will be there. We should be okay. And maybe they will be, but right now there's a chance that that's all starting to come apart a little bit. 888-957-9570. More on the 49ers and the apparent move to Trey Lance next week because it looks like Jimmy's going to be out a while. Also, we'll look at the San Francisco Giants, the NL West champs. Of course, Shamari said he knew in May they were going to win the division. Are the Giants still underdogs? Should they be? That and more coming up with Whitey Gleason and Shamari Block on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.